Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. It's about to be a huge Monday, maybe our best Monday show of the year. Why? Because we got some great people at the desk. That is NFL insider Dave Hellman, the one and only. Joy Taylor's not with us today, but we got Slick, Rick the Buford. Slick, if you leave me hanging, I swear, Slick.
Get him.
Leave me hanging.
Get him before you get me.
I swear. NBA insider Slick Rick. And finally, my guy, Eagles all-time running back, LeSean McCoy. Shady, 2-5, 2-lock is back in the building, and we have been waiting for that. But you know what we've been waiting on? How about this? Matt McClung stole the show. And I mean stole the show at the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. Now, if you ain't been on YouTube, you don't know about Matt McClung. But if you've been watching him, you know that boy got bunnies. He got hops. He got springs in his soles. He won the dunk contest with straight 50s all the way across the board. He signed a two-way contract with the Sixers earlier in the week, and that's why he was there. Shady McCoy, I'm coming to you first. I know basketball is your first love, although you are the Eagles' all-time running leader. Shady, did Matt McClung save the dunk contest, big
dog? Wait, if I told you I was an All-American in high school, would you believe me?
No, I would not.
Okay.
Were you?
Listen, I love Matt because he is a Sixer.
Yep.
But I'm going to say no.
He didn't save it.
He didn't save it, man. Listen, we got to do better, right? And I don't want to, take any light or any shine from his performance. He was brilliant. He was baller. I knew about him. If you watch him on highlights or YouTube, when he was with Georgetown, he was a beast. So I give him his credit. Sixers, home team. But, come on now. If you look at the past of All-Star Weekend, obviously it's the game, but it's the NBA dunk contest. That's what we all love about the game. Mm-hmm. Back then, when in 1988, when Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, hear me out. You go to YouTube, look it up. Michael Jordan was balling.
Of course.
You had Dominique Wilkins.
Of course.
Clyde Drexler.
Of course.
Those are superstars.
They are.
Those are franchise players.
They are.
That's fast forward. One of my favorite in 2000 with Vince Carter.
Yep.
Stevie Franchise. Tracy McGrady. That made the game great.
Yep.
People paying a lot of money to go see the dunk contest. You see Shaquille O'Neal recording everything with the OVS on camera. Now it's like, we don't even know the guys' names, right? And I hate to go there, but it takes the love, it takes the fun out of the game. I remember bringing my little nephew to see some of the superstars. It's Kobe Bryant's, Michael Jordan's, they're all the greats. I think the dunk contest would be great if we got guys like Zion Williams.
Sure.
Right? What about Ja? You get Ja out there throwing dunks, the same dunks they do in the All-Star game. They got to bring it back to the dunk contest. Mm. So I got to say, he did not save it, and it won't be saved until the superstars come out there and they start performing. Take a couple of dunks. Come on.
I respect that.
It's more entertainment than basketball.
I respect that. I disagree with it, but I respect it. Here's why I disagree. Shady, McClung did what these superstars didn't want to do. Ja Morant says, if I get 1 billion likes on Twitter, I'll get into the dunk contest. Ain't nobody getting 1 billion likes. Mm. So we have to beg you to do what God's gifted you to do that you've worked on the ability to do. We got to sit here and start liking things just to get you into a dunk contest that you have the ability to be in the first place.
Right.
If the superstars don't want to do it, then Matt McClung, put on your cape, put on your old high school jersey, and save the day. To me, this was the best dunk contest since 2016. Y'all remember Zach LaVine Aaron Gordon. They had the hoverboards
going on. You think that was better than?
This was as good since then. No, 2016 was better, but this was the best one since then. So because the superstars like Williamson, Zion don't want to be in it, because John Morant don't want to be in it, because those old superstars don't want to be in it, somebody got to resurrect it and revive it, Slick, and I think McClung did that.
I respect that.
I 100% agree. He not only revived it, he's redefining it. And that's the most important thing. Because to your point, you're right. Like, it's not the same when you don't have the stars. It used to be a rite of passage. You couldn't. Kobe Bryant, won the dunk contest.
Right.
LeBron started it going the other direction. A great player who's considered a great in-game dunker who's not going to participate, and it doesn't matter. What was beautiful about this was it mattered. He made almost as much money off of winning the dunk contest, and making his name. And I looked at all the other stars watching him play, and they were amazed.
They were hyped.
Right? They were hyped as much as any of the other guys. So I believe he not only revived it, but he redefined what we consider exciting about the dunk contest. Just give me guys who give me creative dunks and guys who were great stories and who look electric doing it. So now it's on the NBA to get guys like Mack McClung that is going to make it exciting.
That sounds well and good. And I mean, if that's what happens, I'm on board with it. What are the odds it's going to be that good every single year? I mean, you're talking about guys that aren't actually members of the teams they're representing. Like, what are the odds that it's going to be that? And by the way, part of the reason it was so cool is because of the novelty of it. Yep, like, if this becomes a trend, how exciting is that? Like, okay, like, if this is the 10-day contract guy that's going to do it now, does that have staying power?
Well, why not? Why not?
I'll tell you why not. Because every time something happens the first time, it's dope. The first time Patrick Mahomes threw a no-look pass, oh, my God. First time Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double, MVP. Slick, what happened the third time he did it? We didn't even bat an eye. Yep. Oh, another triple-double again. So I think Dave is on to something. Mack McClung ascending from the G League, signing a 10-day two-way contract. Mack McClung being the unsung white boy that got game. Mack McClung, we used to watch his highlight tapes from Georgetown. I remember he transferred to Texas Tech.
I wanted
him to transfer to Texas. So I've been watching
You're old school with that.
Yeah, I've been watching my YouTube tapes. But I think Dave is on to something, Slick. If this were to happen again next year, now it might diminish the dunk contest.
Okay, so there's two parts. Number one, it's not going to be great every year. It's just not.
Sure.
It never has been great every year.
Right.
But what Mack McClung opened up was the possibility. Yeah, it might not be a 6'1 white dude that's going to be the next dunk contest. But it could be somebody who is trying to scrape their way into the league. And part, I think, of the appeal is you knew how much it meant to Mack McClung. You go to the heart of it. Like, we got to convince guys to participate in this.
Sure.
You get to walk in the steps of Michael Jordan and Dr. J. You get to earn that trophy. That should mean something in and of itself. And I think that that's what appealed to everyone. One of the first things the wardrobe people said to me was, hey, do you know he made almost as much off of the dunk contest as he did?
I mean, that's a hell of a stat. I got it. I got it right here.
What are the numbers? 100,000, something like that.
He's made 106 in career earnings, 1,000, clearly, and then 100,000 over the weekend for the dunk contest.
Also, real quick, like, And that's cool. Like, get your money. But how do you sell that? In the sports we play in, if it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is, you got to sell something.
Mm-hmm.
If I want fans to come out here, I want to pre-sense, we got in L.A., we got the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Right? How do you sell it?
I'll tell you.
You can't just sell the game.
I'll tell you.
But you can sell this. We're going to pay extra money for John Morant to go out there and dunk Zion. Right? You pay them guys extra, whatever you got to do. And then you sell it. They got the competition against each other dunking.
Yeah.
People want to see that. And I hate to say this because he's a Sixer. We might have never seen Mack in a Sixer game.
Of course.
Dunk.
Yeah. Of course not. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it waters it down.
But it comes down to this, Shady. And only you can answer this question, in my mind, better than anybody on national television. How can we get the stars to care about the game? You and I talked to, we talked about Pro Bowls. You went to 6 Pro Bowls. Clearly, I believe you were probably voted into many more than that.
Yeah.
But I know you went to 6. There came a point where, Shady, you rushed for 18,000. You have 1,800 all-purpose yards in a season, maybe 2,000 in a season. So you're looking at the Pro Bowl, and you're like, I've been there. 2,000? You're like, I've been there. I've done that.
Right.
How can we – you've been the superstar that's looked at the All-Star game and said, I'm good.
Right.
How can we get the Ja Morants? How can we get the Zion Williamsons? How can we get the superstars to actually care about the All-Star performances? Because you've been in those chairs.
You know the difference, though, is that – it's going to be easier for basketball because they're all going there. See, with the Pro Bowl, they either have in Hawaii or they have in different states, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to that. In basketball, they all go. They all go there and hang out. So, Steph Curry was there. He didn't even play.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're going there. My thing is this. Pay them a little extra. Put some incentives in there for them.
Mm.
You got to do whatever it is to protect the game, right? When it's the Shield, NBA Shield, NFL Shield, you got to do whatever you got to do. So, if it's pay them a little extra,
Play a little harder, they might do it.
How much? Because I was having this argument getting a haircut earlier today. The winning team of the All-Star game gets $100,000, Slick. And I believe the loser maybe gets $25,000. But, Shady, what is $100,000 to a player getting a supermax of $200-plus million? How much money, and I'm not going to be in your pockets, but how much you think a superstar player would need to make? $250,000, $500,000? What's the number?
First of all, so we talked about Ja. Ja was already there. He was doing the crazy dunks in the real game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so look, man. It's a the game's on Friday, right? The game's
the
on Sunday.
The dunk contest on Saturday.
The dunk's on Friday or Saturday.
Yep.
Saturday. Cool. We'll give you an extra $200,000, $250,000, $300,000.
That's not going to do it.
That might do it. I'm already there.
You don't think? I'm legitimately curious.
You can't go over 500. That's too much.
No, it's going to have to be seven figures, and then it's going to continue to go up. So what you need to do is you need to give them something that they couldn't get otherwise.
Okay.
What's that?
We're going to give you a signature shoe. You win the dunk contest, you get a signature shoe. I need something that is unique. Because money, it just keeps going up. Mm-hmm. You can never settle that. And I don't need all stars. I just need one star. I need one Mac McClung, and I need one star that has his reputation on the line. Because that's the trickiest part. These guys don't want to go in. If they're known as great dunkers and great in-game dunkers, dunk contest is a whole different animal.
Absolutely.
You're just out there by yourself. They're judging the creativity. The clock's going. You miss your first dunk because the guy didn't throw the lob right, and now the pressure's on. That's a whole different animal. But if I can give you something you can't get anyplace else, and signature shoes now are the most difficult prize to gain, now you're giving me something where I'm going to pay attention.
But Slick, why if I'm Ja Morant, would I run that risk? But I'm not trying to lose to Mac McClung. I'll lose to Zach LaVine. I'll lose to Aaron Gordon. I'll lose to Zion Williamson. But you want me? Because here's the thing. Shady been talking about this. Mac McClung been working on dunks since he was in high school. Ja been working on hooping. And I mean hooping.
Yep.
Mac McClung clearly been working on hooping, went to Georgetown, went to Texas Tech. But while Ja was working on a three ball, while Ja was working on getting to the paint, driving past bigs, finishing with his right and with his left, Mac McClung was working on, and it is viral on social media, reverse 360 no-look dunks. So it's not a fair fight.
Yep.
If I'm Ja Morant, why would I even sign up for that?
Wait a minute. If you're Ja Morant, and you think you're one of the best players in the league, you don't think, you're scared that you might lose to Mac McClung in the dunk contest?
But
like, I would hope that you would look at it and say, well, I already know I'm an all-time, all-around great player. But on top of it, I'm going to go get this dunk contest. And you know what? Let's say I don't. Mac McClung, well done. But I'm still in the league, and I'm still going to be here all NBA.
Is it too risky?
I would like to think no, because he just illustrated it perfectly. Like, I'm going to go be one of the young faces of the league when this is over. Have fun with your trophy. I would hope that would be the attitude. And that's why it kind of mystifies me to some degree when we talk about guys not wanting to compete. Because at the end of the day, what? I mean, people are going to clown you on Twitter, I guess. People do that anyway. People do that to all athletes all the time. I hope that is not the deterrent.
Shady, final thought. Is it too risky if you are a Ja Morant to go try to dunk against a Mac McClung, knowing you got nothing to really gain and everything
I gotta
to lose?
Be honest. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You don't gain nothing. You lose everything.
Yeah.
Now, compared to him going against Zion, it's like we both had something to...
In narrative, it's bad. If Ja goes into that dunk... Because Mac McClung had a perfect score.
Right.
So if Ja goes into that dunk contest and loses to...
Social media.
6'2", 6'1", Mac McClung... Okay.
The Michael, the Michael Jordan...
Ja can go pull up the jersey sales.
What's worse? That
come on.
That he loses to Mac McClung or he doesn't want to compete against Mac McClung? What's worse?
That's a question that needs an answer, and I'll have it for you. But coming up, Eric Bieniemy, as we transition to football, he is not a head coach yet. In the most drama-filled football weekend thus far, Eric Bieniemy chooses to leave Patrick Mahomes and go become the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. I cannot make sense out of this decision, but it is going to shake up the football world next year as Patrick Mahomes loses his offensive coordinator. Next on Speed.
Congratulations.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Eric Eric Bieniemy is leaving the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. Now, if y'all don't know, he has been the offensive coordinator for the last several years. But anytime head coaching jobs open, they close without Eric Bieniemy getting that position. So now what? Bieniemy leaves the Chiefs and becomes the new offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. He's also the assistant head coach. Now, here's a detail that you need to know. Bieniemy did not call plays in Kansas City, but for the Commanders, he will call plays. Everybody on television has been talking about it, but LeSean McCoy actually played under and for Eric Bieniemy and won a Super Bowl there. I'm going to hold Shady's thoughts because I want to hold your attention for a little bit longer.
Nice tease.
Dumb as heck for Eric Bieniemy to go to Washington. I think it was the most irresponsible move he could make for his career. Not monetarily. I'm sure he's making more money. But not all money is good money. I will say that again. Not all money is good money. Why would you go from Patrick Mahomes, who is a consensus top five quarterback in the history of the National Football League, to a quarterback in Sam Howell, who has one start under his belt in his career? Mm-hmm. Sam Howell was great as a sophomore at North Carolina. I watched them intensely because my former head coach, Hall of Fame college football head coach, is the head coach of the University of North Carolina, coached Sam Howell in college. Had a great sophomore year. But his junior year, completion percentage went down, touchdowns went down, interceptions went up. Now, he did lose his beast of running backs to the National Football League, but Sam Howell has one career start in the NFL, and you going from Patrick Mahomes, who got more Super Bowl MVPs than Sam Howell has NFL starts.
Talk to him.
Like, let's put this in context, y'all. Yeah. Pat Mahomes has more MVPs in the Super Bowl than Sam Howell has career starts. Yeah. And you going to tell me that's an upgrade? Yeah. No. Do not try to sell me some sort of fool's gold. I watch too much football to know that. Congrats on Eric Bieniemy for getting more paper. But Shady, what you know about paper, what I've learned about paper, not all money is good money. Now, you know Eric Bieniemy better than most.
Yes, I do.
You know him really well. Eric Bieniemy is a former running back. LeSean McCoy, one of the greatest running backs. Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator. LeSean McCoy was one of the players that won a Super Bowl under Eric Bieniemy. How big of a risk is Eric Bieniemy leaving the Chiefs and going to the Commanders?
I think it's a great move, right? Getting more money.
Yep.
Now you're on your own, but it's a huge risk. You don't have Andy Reid there, right? You talked about Patrick Mahomes. I'll get to that later. But Andy, let me tell you who Andy Reid really is. If we really went down his coaching tree, and I'm going to say this for the next block, all them coaches have done well or had head coaching jobs or office coordinator jobs. So now you leave him, right? Now you're on your own. There's no coach Reid there to help you out. See, because Reid called all the plays. So how it worked in Kansas City was this. Andy Reid sends the play to Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy sends it to Patrick Mahomes. That's an easy job to do.
Okay.
In practice, all the plays are scripted, and he was called the plays that are scripted. It's easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when people want to see the results, well, Bieniemy, when you were there, right, the offense ranked first in offense, ranked second in pass, ranked 10th in rushing offense. Like, whoa, they want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got to go there and it's just you, and they want to see what you learn with Andy Reid, that's a big risk. I'm not sure if he has what it takes to get it done there.
Break this down for the viewer, because you said that to me. I know exactly what you mean, but I played football in college and pro. When you said Andy Reid calls the plays, then Bieniemy relays the play that Andy Reid calls to Patrick Mahomes, what is a normal play caller then? Is Eric Bieniemy usually, should he be the one who's calling the plays in general as opposed to just a game of telephone? Or break that down for a viewer.
I've played college football. I've played NFL football at a high, high level in both. I've never seen a office coordinator. The head coach sends the play to the offensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator sends it to the quarterback. I've never seen that before. Normally, in most offense of schemes, the offensive coordinator who calls the plays sends it to the quarterback to call the play for him. So, initially, Andy Reid is the offensive coordinator. The one thing about Andy Reid is he wants his guys to get jobs. He's a team guy. So, he spoke highly about Eric Bieniemy. And I do think Eric Bieniemy has, like, the discipline. When I was there, that was his biggest thing. You know, he was the disciplinarian. You know, do this right. But he didn't really deal with the offense. That's another thing. He didn't really deal with the offense of pass game. He was more with the running backs. He was more with the running game. So I'm thinking, well, who's gonna call the passes? Because when I was there, he didn't call the passes. When we would have like watch the practices or watch the games, and we had to break it down, it was Andy Reid breaking it down, which most teams is the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge risk. Now you have to actually play
or B, the offensive coordinator, which you haven't done in years.
We will get back to more of that because I'm very intrigued by those details. Let me come to you, Dave, very quickly. How big a risk is Eric Bieniemy leaving the Chiefs going to the Commanders?
I don't think it's even slightly a risk. I don't think it's any kind of risk. And I think the best way to sort this out is to put yourself in Eric Bieniemy's shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you do? Eric Bieniemy has been one of the most successful, noteworthy coordinators in the NFL for 5 years now. Like, really, only football junkies and people that are paid to know about the league know the game on the coordinator level. Like, who's the DC in Philadelphia? Jonathan Gannon, that type of thing. Everybody knows who Eric Bieniemy is because he's been doing this at a high level since 2018. I know he doesn't call the plays, but he has a hand in an offense that's finished first, third, first, sixth, first, going back to 2018. Every year he's part of the hiring cycle, and every year he's the most noteworthy name that gets left out. His own head coach, Andy Reid, is sitting here saying, why doesn't this guy have a job yet? He's interviewed in countless places. And still, I don't even care if you agree that he's good or not, but the thing, we just keep finding reasons why he doesn't get a job. And right now the reason is, well, he's never called plays. He's never been, you know, top dog of an offense. So what do you do? What would you do if you were trying to break through that ceiling? You got the Super Bowls. Your legacy is secure to some degree. Like, Eric Bieniemy can work in the NFL as long as he wants to. If this doesn't work out, he can rebound somewhere else. He's got connections in the league. But he wants a chance to be head coach. And if this is your only chance to do it after 5 years of getting denied for this reason, that reason, what would you do?
But that's where I think he's wrong. And I think that...
You want to just keep doing this in KC? You want to just...
Here's
what's wrong. Two Super Bowls isn't enough? I guess I can win a third?
Matt Nagy, Shady, was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs.
You take him out. Go ahead.
Doug Peterson was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Matt Nagy became the head coach for the Chicago Bears. Doug Peterson became the head coach for who, Shady? The Philadelphia Eagles. And they didn't call plays. Mm-hmm. So it is not Eric Bieniemy's lack of play calling that's keeping him from becoming a head coach. How do I know that? Because Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson both got hired from under Andy Reid without calling plays. So to assume that I have to, as Eric Bieniemy, go become a play caller to become a head coach, that is finding a solution to a wrong problem. The problem is not that you don't call plays, Eric Bieniemy, because Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson didn't call plays. I don't know what the problem is. Yeah. I'm not into the interview room, Slick Rick. I don't know what the problem is. I'm not going to cry that it's racial. I don't know what the problem is. I don't think it has anything to do with running with the police in 1991, I think it was, whatever it was with Eric Bieniemy. Right. I don't know what the problem is, but I do not think the problem is that he doesn't call plays. I just think that's an excuse.
I'm with you in that we don't know what the problem is, but I can also tell you that he wasn't going to find the solution. To Dave's point, he wasn't going to find the solution in Kansas City. He needed to go someplace else. And if you're going to go someplace else, then I'm going to go where the bar is set relatively low. Who was the last team in the NFC East? What is the team that offensively hasn't been in the top half of the league for, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yep.
Sam Howell, if things go south, are we going to say, well, Eric Bieniemy obviously isn't a coordinator. He can't be. No. There are plenty of built-in reasons why, if it doesn't work out, Bieniemy's not going to be the first guy that you're going to blame. But the flip side, if Bieniemy makes them into a top 15 offense, and I'm not talking what he did with Kansas City.
No, even if they're decent.
If they're decent,
he's going to get a ton of credit.
Good point. Everybody's going to go, oh, see, they've been sleeping on Eric Bieniemy all this time. That's why, for me, it's not the money, it's not the title, it's the respect. And he really doesn't have to do that much in order to gain a hell of a lot more respect than he has right now.
But here's my thought, because Shady's played under Eric Bieniemy, and Shady alluded to this earlier. Don't be confused. If Eric Bieniemy goes to Washington and they struggle, mm-hmm. and Sam Howell has 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions to start the season, we will start to look at Eric Bieniemy and say, see,
he ain't never called plays in the first place.
We have to. Why? Because Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Scary Terry, Brian Robinson at running back, and there's another running back I'm missing. There's one more I'm missing. Antonio Gibson?
Yes, Antonio Gibson.
I'm like, we will look and say, yo, they got a crazy skill position group. Eric Bieniemy, why are y'all struggling? Dave, chime in.
It's kind of what we were saying with the dunk contest, though. In my opinion, like, Kansas City is safe, and that's cool. I mean, he could keep doing this for a long time. Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Andy's not going anywhere. But where do you get with that? That's my thing. Again, if it was me, after 3, 4, 5 years of this, I think you probably just get sick of it. And to Rick's point, you want to be able to earn some respect because you're not getting it. There's nothing.
And you're not
going
to get it.
You're not going to get it. There's nothing the Chiefs could do. Like, what could happen other than Andy Reid making a very public display of giving him play calling duties and having them then win a Super Bowl? What's he going to do there? And I can very easily imagine it gets frustrating and you say, okay, fine, I'm going to do this. And like I said, he's got two championships on his resume. He's got a long history of coaching. Like, if this fails spectacularly, I'll step out on a very big limb and say Eric Bieniemy will be able to get work as a coach in the NFL somewhere else if this doesn't work. But imagine if it does. If it does, all of a sudden the narrative on this guy changes completely. So, yeah, it is risky to some degree, but I think it's a risk that's absolutely worth taking.
Here is the sneaky information nobody's talking about. The coach that might be on the hottest seat next year, Ron Rivera. If Eric Bieniemy is the assistant to the head coach,
Chestnut
Ron
checkers.
Rivera gets fired in the middle of the season. Well, you want to know who's going to instantly become a head coach before the 2023 season is over? That's what nobody's talking about. Coming up, what everybody's talking about? Well, Kevin Durant being out of Brooklyn and now in Phoenix. But does he have more to gain or lose by becoming a son? Oh, I cannot wait to have that conversation. It's some hoops talk today, y'all. Next on Speed.
Let me drop a nugget.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What a story we have for y'all right now. Kevin Durant, you know he wanted out of Brooklyn and he got his wish. Well, the new Phoenix Suns said he has no issue with players requesting trades. KD, speak up.
I don't think it's bad for the league. It's bringing more eyes to the league. More people are more excited. The tweets that I got and the news hits that we got from me being traded, Kyrie being traded, just bring more attention to the league. And that's really what makes you money is when you get more attention. So I think it's great for the league, to be honest.
He says it's great for the league, Slick Rick. Players demanding or requesting trades, but you've covered the NBA for a long time. You know more about basketball than anybody on television. What do you say?
He's confusing player movement with demanding trades. And I love how we already changed the word from request. I'd like to be traded if you wouldn't mind, to, hey, get me the hell out of here. Because there's a difference between those two things. You're holding a team hostage when you're saying, hey, I'm done. Because the question is, I mean, in any of those situations, this guy continue to play? Is he going to stop working in order to get out of here? Or does he want a change of scenery and can we work together to make that happen? There's a lot of room between those two things. He is right in that player movement and transactions and the idea that a guy could come to your team, a superstar could come to your team, is what has become the lifeblood of the NBA. It's why it is blown up on social media. But players, star players, especially after signing a deal or saying, I'm here to win a championship and I'm not leaving until I do. And then something goes sideways and 2 weeks later they're going, I want up out of here. Mm. That's not good for the league. So, and that's going to be addressed, I assure you, is going to be addressed in the next collective bargaining agreement. I'm all good with guys moving around. I'm all good with players having freedom. But you can't sign a deal and then say, you know what? On second thought, I want my money, but I want it someplace else.
Shady, I know you're passionate about this one at times. Do you agree that demanding, requesting trades is good for the NBA?
Absolutely, right? I love when the players could form together and get things figured out the way they want to, right? We're so used to the owners dictating everything. That's why I love basketball. You look at Kevin Durant, right? Kyrie Irving, he leaves. He goes to the Mavs. Now you got Kevin Durant with a couple of good, okay, you got some teammates with the Nets. Mm-hmm. And then you got Ben Simmons. I don't want to play with Ben Simmons. You don't want to play with Ben Simmons. I needed to demand a trade because I look at the legacy, right? I look at the legacy of Kevin Durant. I want to go to a team that could contend for a championship because I'm going to be up there when it's all said and done. At the end of it, I'm going to be up there with LeBron James in the top 10 in scoring, right? I'm going to be up there in rebounds. This is Kevin Durant we're talking about. So I need to be up there with the other guys. And for me to do that, to continue my legacy, I have to move. I look at my career. I wish, and I don't want to say which teams, obviously it wasn't the Eagles, but I wish I would have demanded a trade a little sooner in Buffalo. I love Buffalo. It was a great time. But when I seen where the team was kind of rebuilding, they were rebuilding to what they are now.
Yeah.
Right? They sacrificed early to now they got Stephon Diggs. They got these playoff teams and et cetera. I should have did that around that time. Look, I want to demand a trade. Send me to a contender. That way, my legacy had a great career. Mm-hmm. It could have been even better.
Is that not selfish, though, 2-5? Like, at the point in which the Bills take out their whole checkbook and they made you the highest paid running back in the National Football League. Is that not enough?
No, it's not. Because now I'm big on legacy, like Kevin Durant's big on legacy. You're talking about money right now. I'm not talking about money. Listen, thank you for the money you gave me, and I gave you my production for the money you gave me, right? I had Pro Bowls,
all pros, all the things. Yes, sir.
So now it's time for me. I want to win. I want to make my legacy, make my career, my resume bigger. And for me to do that, it got to be selfish. Send me to the Suns. We got Booker. We got CP3. And we got a chance to win the West and go to the championship. That's what it's all about.
Okay. So not all of them are created equal.
Yes.
Right? The reason that you have Ben Simmons there is why? Because your boy James Harden didn't want to be there anymore.
Okay.
I went and I got James Harden because UKD wanted to play with him. You signed off on that.
Yep.
I put you with Kyrie Irving because you guys came as a package team.
Of course.
So, I'm with you in terms of the player empowerment. There are times where you're playing for a bad team and they're just about, like, milking your star power and they're not trying to help your legacy and win championships. They don't want to spend that extra money. They don't want to do that extra work. I'm for you on that. But Kevin Durant doesn't have that argument because the Brooklyn Nets did everything possible for him. And as soon as Kyrie was out the door, he said, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's not enough for me in that circumstance to validate.
You'd stay there and try to win with them guys?
For the rest of the season? At the very least, let me see what I can do here based on what I got for Kyrie Irving. He never even allowed that to happen. Oh, you're not going to let me play with my boy? Then it doesn't become winning championships. It's not what we're winning or losing. It's I don't get to play with my dude that I came here in the first place, the dude who hasn't been available most of the time.
I disagree. I disagree with that because I don't think it's a Kyrie, Kevin Durant, we got to play together thing. I think he wants to win. You can't go from OKC.
They were 19-3 when they were both on the floor.
Okay, so now that he's gone, then what?
Okay.
What do we have? Because hold on. You go from OKC from getting buckets, stats. We all love stats. Mm-hmm. Now I'm past that. Now I go to Golden State, right? Mm-hmm. Now we win a championship. Now I feel that. Mm-hmm. So I feel the stats. Then I feel the money. Now I feel championships. Mm-hmm. It's a different type of light you get. Now you go to the Nets, they do the same thing with Kyrie Irving, and we've been balling. He leaves. How can I get back to that light in championships?
Can I at least see what I'm capable of doing as Kevin Durant with the other pieces?
No.
Because the fact is that Kyrie Irving, they were 5-9 with Kyrie Irving. So it's not like Kyrie was carrying the water. UKD are the guy who stirs the drink. So I'm going to give you some more pieces.
Why he got to go through that? Every superstar we talk about, every good team, let's just think about it for a second. The Celtics is probably the best team in the NBA record-wise. Look at they got duels, okay, with Brown and Tatum.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The Lakers, they got LeBron and AD, street clothes. Who else? Every team has superstars. Why I gotta be the one that I gotta sit here with the Nets? Why I gotta be the guy?
I mean, he did have them. I guess that was Rick's point,
right?
Come on,
man. So I gotta get out of there.
The Nets are a weird knot to untangle, though. Because, I don't blame KD for not wanting to be there all those guys left, but he had a role in putting all that together as well. I mean, at the end of the day, it just comes down to leverage, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Kevin Durant is a good enough player to pull this off. There aren't very many that can, but if he can do it, and I respect and support that. If you can maneuver this, and he clearly did, he's in a way better situation than he was 2 weeks ago.
Way better.
I respect it. I don't think the list is very long of guys that can swing this type of stuff.
We'll see what
here's my question,
situation.
Though, Slick, and Shady is going to upset you.
Uh-oh.
I apologize in advance.
I know the hate was coming.
This is going to upset you. You mentioned Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown wasn't always a superstar. Wasn't always an all-star. Wasn't always a star. We can go to the Warriors. Klay Thompson wasn't always like
that. Oh, I know you're going.
Wait, hold on.
Bring it. Bring it.
Come on,
Devin. You can look
come
around the league. Devin Booker got buckets.
Yes.
But Slick, you know.
Yes.
Devin Booker wasn't always Devin Booker.
Until
Chris Paul showed up.
There we go.
When Steph Curry helped activate Klay. When Jason Tatum helped activate JB. I'm just wondering, LeSean McCoy, what role does it all KD play a role in, rather than looking at Ben Simmons? Because keep in mind, Ben Simmons was top five in triple-doubles when he got into the league. He's top five in triple-doubles with Luka, with Westbrook, with, I believe, it's
Giannis. Those days is over with. I'm a Sixer fan. Those days been over with.
Those days existed. What I'm going to ask you is this. What part of KD is it, you know what? Why don't you help make Ben Simmons who Ben Simmons was, as opposed to, let me go find somebody that's already complete. I said this last night talking to the producer. Kevin Durant, and he is one of the greatest players of all time, but Kevin Durant walks into the kitchen once the baking oven goes off and the cake is already done, and he adds icing to it.
That's sad, yo.
Cake is already done. He adds icing to it. Now, let's not get it twisted. Some people only eat cake for the icing. You feel me? So I'm not going to act like the icing might not be the best part of the cake, but it's not like he in there cooking.
Yo,
he ain't in there adding batter. He ain't in there adding sugar. He ain't in there adding vanilla extract. He ain't in there adding baking soda. He waits until it's done. He comes in.
It's funny.
You got any cherries? Put the cherry on top. Now, again, that's the icing might
this
be the
feels
best
feels like
part.
A little much for like one
no,
of the
KD,
best.
No, it's crazy. No.
But am I tripping?
Emmy, you went way too far. It was
too
great.
Far.
It was great, and I want to eat some of that cake. But
here's why I say this. KD balled, and we know he balled. First off, KD was a Sonic before any of that, right? KD leaves Texas, he's a Supersonic. Then he gets OKC, and he does everything in OKC. He wins an NBA MVP. He liked that. But he goes to, obviously, the best team by regular season record ever, 73 wins. Mm-hmm. What nobody's talking about right now, 2-5, KD joined the Suns. The 64-win Suns. The Suns over the last 2 years have won 14
more games than the next closest opponent.
Kevin Durant is so great, he can't win. Right? Now, so if he goes out here and wins the championship, which I think they might do, he's going to say this right here. Oh, they had a great record before he got there. He can't win.
Don't you hope they would win a championship? Don't you hope they would?
Well, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy.
They were in the finals 2 years ago.
Hold on.
So, first of all, the Booker thing was crazy. Booker, his career highs before CP
when
got there.
When CP showed up, Booker got Booker.
Yeah, he had like
– But he didn't win.
Okay, but hold on. Nobody wins, though. Tell me some players, right? Because I'm getting upset. Tell me some players that win without a superstar. Yeah.
Well, Giannis, Ugo,
that's not true. Middleton's a
monster. Middleton was an all-star before Giannis was an NBA MVP. Y'all do your Googles.
Here's my question to you, Shady, honestly. Because I'm going to try to find a bridge back from the kitchen where we baked that cake.
Right. Whipped cream and all that.
Why did it not work in Brooklyn with KD?
And who? What crew?
Why did he not have the success?
Okay, let me tell you why.
Why did he not win a championship?
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
The players that they brought there to play with Kevin Durant, they all didn't play together. It's always something. James Harden gets hurt, right? It happens. Okay. Kyrie had a lot of extra baggage off the court.
Yep.
KD didn't ask for that. He didn't ask for him. These guys that have all these issues off the court.
But he asked to play with Kyrie. As soon as Kyrie left, he said, I'm out. So if the guy that was part of the problem for you not winning is now traded, why are you asking to leave now?
I would ask to leave, too. If I came to this show, right, I see how good you are on TV. I come here, we're going to do it together. Boom. We're going to get some Emmys. We're going to be a great show. And then you start tripping and doing all the stuff offset.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not here some days. So I'm carrying a load by myself. You know what I mean? It's like, dang, I need help. I came here for you to help me out.
So then
he leaves Fox and goes to whatever spot.
Right.
I'm leaving. I came here for you to do it together.
Shady.
Everybody needs a partner.
Shady, but wouldn't you give the show and your opportunity to leave?
No.
Wouldn't you at least take that opportunity
Thanks,
and say, can I leave?
Let me ask you this, and I'm done with it. This is because Kevin Durant is that great. So if he stays there, do you think they have a chance to win the Eastern Conference Finals? Do you think they have a chance to even go there?
I didn't think they did before. So that's kind of a difficult question. But do I think they could have been as good? Yes, I do.
Let me ask this.
What?
Dave, we had this dialogue before the show, though. Let me turn this question on its head and I think really unveil the answer to this question.
Okay.
Put LeBron James in his prime on that Nets team. Mm. Put Giannis 2019-2020 on us, put today's version of Giannis on that Nets team. I don't think, Shady, that we would so flippantly say, heck no. I think if you put a player like LeBron James in his prime on that Nets team, regardless of what's going on, I think if you put 2019 Giannis, we wouldn't just say, no, they ain't got a shot. We might be like, hey, they don't have to work for it, but we wouldn't just so quickly discard them even having a chance. KD is so great that in my mind, he should at least be able to get you out of round one, get you past the semis because of his immense talent.
Every player does it. I watched how Anthony Davis got to the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. He forced his way out of there. Can we say that? Mm-hmm. He forced his way out of there, right? His career, whatever his career was before that with the Pelicans, he figured a way out to get out of there. Then he goes to the Lakers and win the championship. Kawhi Leonard. Same thing. He forces me out of the Spurs. I'm hurt. I ain't playing. We all know what's going on. I got NBA friends. You got NBA. Come on. He forces me out of there. And what are you going to do? Get a championship. Play with a better team. How's he going to compete if you stay with the regular squad? You need help. It's documented.
On top of that, I mean, don't we know? I mean, Kevin Durant's capable of that. I mean, he gave Giannis the toughest
capable
test.
Capable of what?
Of carrying a team.
Yes.
I think he is anyway.
He's great, yes.
The fact that, he just doesn't want to or didn't want to. And he's good enough that he had the power to affect change. And you can disagree with it or agree with it.
I agree with you, Dave.
Like I said, I respect the fact that Kevin Durant is good enough to pull that off. That's all it comes down to
me. But if he was, if he is, I'm not going to say he's not. But if he is, then, Dave, why didn't he? Because keep in mind, KD
didn't want to.
Because nobody does. But say
Shady,
that, Dave.
But Shady, no.
Who does, though?
Here's my thing.
Tell me who does this.
Shady, hear my thing, big dog. Here's my thing. KD don't just leave and join mediocre teams. He don't even leave and join good teams. KD leaves and joins the best team in basketball. The Suns, by record, were the best team in basketball last year. The Warriors, by record, were the best team in the history of basketball.
So where should he go? Because if you look, let's look at the West real quick. So my favorites in the West is I like the Pelicans. I like with Zion there. Mm. Look at that team. They got players, right? You look at the Mavs now. Kyrie Irving, and you got Luka. What other team can he go to on the West that can compete without having stars? You need stars. Am I tripping? Slick, am I tripping?
No, you don't need stars to the same level. You don't need the idea that you need three big stars and that's how you build a championship team. And this is a subject for another day. We'll get a little deeper into that. But that's not the requisite. The question that I have and that has not been answered.
Okay.
And to Acho's point, which I think is a very good one, KD's just ready to always go to the next place. And what's a better place than where I am right now? And all of the guys that you mentioned who have been successful, they stayed in a place and they made it work. If they were given the opportunity for a team to build around them, they didn't win a championship right away. Giannis didn't win a championship right away.
Not at all.
He didn't have Drew Holiday right away.
Years old,
he didn't have the pieces right away. And they built. They went and got Brooke Lopez. Mm-hmm. They went and got Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. That's my problem with
together.
KD.
They got better together.
Exactly.
Where's Joy? Joy's the one that always said, like, why do you have to suffer? Why do you have to suffer to be successful?
How is he suffering?
And he's not young.
KD's not young.
It's not like they're not making the playoffs. They've made the playoffs.
I also don't know. I'm not saying that you have to, quote, unquote, suffer. But we will view it differently when a guy like Giannis sits in Milwaukee for 9 years. Middleton makes no all-star game appearance because I did my Googles while I told y'all to do yours. Middleton's first all-star appearance, Shady, was 18-19, right? Coinciding with Giannis winning MVP. They got better together. I would submit this. If Giannis was KD, he probably wouldn't have stayed in Milwaukee. He probably would have been like, how am I going to win this joint with Middleton, my second best player?
Hell no.
He would have stayed in Milwaukee. Nah, he would have just dipped.
That's not true.
No
because
he would have dipped.
Hold up. When you have young talent and you can see it growing together, like Boston, you talk about Brown not being a star. You've seen that coming. You've seen that. You've seen him evolve. He's a young player. Kevin Durant is not young. He don't have time to be waiting. I don't have time to be waiting around. I need results now. And you know why? Because people like us, if Kevin Durant stays with a team like the Nets and they don't win, right, and he's balling out, it doesn't matter. We only talk about winners.
True. You're not wrong.
We only talk about winners.
He's not wrong about
34.
That.
34 years old.
That's when legacy matters.
I love this show.
Dave, I don't love the hate.
Slick.
This KD hate is like different.
It wasn't even hate.
It was hate.
It was accurate.
You built the whole cake about Kevin Durant hating.
No, he went to a 73-win team.
You call Kevin Durant icing
and
on cake.
And KD's better than Giannis, too.
Not even icing.
And KD's better than Giannis, too.
Watch your mouth. No, yeah. he definitely is.
Your cake was called hate.
Coming up, not only is it getting spicy on the show, it's getting spicy in Green Bay. We are hearing that the Packers are actually disgusted by quarterback Aaron Rodgers. But should they be? Next on Speak. If you join a 73-win team, Dave, you're icing. You're icing.
Food Network.
Okay, now look, y'all. We all know Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay. It is up in the air. But I heard this weekend, and it was fascinating. A Packers reporter said, quote, they are done with Rodgers. He's not coming back. I mean, they're disgusted with him. And they're done with him. And they're moving on. Close quote. That word disgusted, it rings volumes, Dave Hellman. Dave, I want to come to you first on this, big dog. You've been covering the NFL for a mighty, mighty long time. You know a lot about quarterback controversy.
Oh,
you covered the Cowboys for 10 years. So you studied quarterback controversy as much as anybody on TV.
Yeah.
Should the Packers be disgusted with Aaron Rodgers?
I would have very little problem with this quote if you ended it like right after the first sentence. Like, if they're done with Rodgers, he's not coming back. Cool. You got me. Then I read, they're disgusted with him, and I have a huge, huge, huge problem with that. Look, there's all the reason in the world why, even with Aaron Rodgers meaning what he does to the organization, there's all the reason in the world why they might want to move on. I mean, they drafted Jordan Love. It's put up or shut up time. They don't know what they have in him. It's probably time to figure it out. They're probably tired of doing this song and dance every year because it's been happening since 18 or 19 at this point. All that's fine. But to say you're disgusted with a guy who's won 4 MVPs, brought you a championship, you've built your team around him, he's kept your team relevant even when you haven't always lived up to your end of the bargain helping him. I mean, Jordan Love is on this team. You can't take that back. That's what y'all thought of Rodgers is like, all right, let's get the next guy in the pipeline here. Forget helping Aaron Rodgers. We're going to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback. And he's still made it work. And like, the awful season, and don't get me wrong, Aaron Rodgers wasn't great this year, but the awful season that he had was missing the playoffs by a game, 26 touchdowns and 12 picks. If that is awful, you're pretty good. The guy's won 4 MVPs, 2 of which just happened. Like, very recently, like, the dust on those trophies hasn't started to collect yet. Like I said, I get it. Doesn't seem like he's been the best leader to the young guys on your team. Maybe he wasn't as bought in as you would prefer. Disgusted? That's really annoying, Packers. If that's really how you feel about, again, and who are the Packers to eat? Y'all don't know what mediocre quarterback play is. You haven't had it since the first Bush administration. You realize how long, put that in perspective. Like, there are middle-aged people like me who don't remember the Packers even having a mediocre quarterback, let alone a bad one. So say you're disgusted with Aaron Rodgers, fine. If you're annoyed with him, if you're kind of fatigued, I get it, because I am too. But disgusted clearly rubbed me the wrong way.
Disgusted.
Stop.
You heard what they said,
stop,
Dave Hellman.
Stop it.
Listen, I'm tired of this Aaron Rodgers talk. Every year, does he want to play? Does he care? Is he going to retire? You know, let's pay him. Let's make him happier. Like, what is it with this guy? Yes, I understand why they're disgusted. I understand why they're upset and they're frustrated. Every year, it's the same thing. My thing with Aaron Rodgers is this. Your time is done, man. Listen. Go to a new team, right? Every new interview you want to talk about, or if you're coming back or not, you got the young guys who's going to be there for the future. See, one thing, as I feel like as players, the franchise will always be there. As players, we forget that. You know, we have great players like Aaron Rodgers, four MVPs, one Super Bowl appearance, one Super Bowl win, 18 years. Anyway, but that's great. But the franchise will always be there. So when every year you keep, you know, change your mind if you want to be there, if you're mad, you want the GM to be fired. Like, all these requests he asked for. Then we give you $50 million a year. That's not good enough. You got a problem with that. So, yes, I understand why I discussed it. It's time to move on. You had your day. I want to see Jordan Love. I want to see that era.
I get it, Dave. I get it. Like, I do think disgust is aggressive. But riddle me this, Packers fans. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the bandwidth nor the desire to go to OTAs, but has the bandwidth to go on Pat McAfee's show once a week, Like, somebody make that make sense. Like, I don't have
to talk bad about my players.
I don't have the desire to go build up the rapport with Romeo Doubs, my rookie wide receiver, with Christian Watson, my rookie wide receiver. But I'll sit and do an interview with a guy, Pat McAfee, for what? Like, that's what doesn't make sense to me. Now, shout out to Pat McAfee. He does a great show. It's not a slight on that.
It's
a slight on Aaron Rodgers. Where are you devoting your time? What are we talking about? 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. That is not atrocious, but that doesn't deserve distraction. If you're going to give me Trevor Lawrence numbers, which is fine, Trevor Lawrence had a good season. You don't hear Trevor Lawrence doing media interviews talking about silence retreats. If you don't give me Justin Herbert numbers, that's fine. Justin Herbert had a solid season. But what is Justin Herbert? He is the epitome of a quarterback on media. So I'm trying to navigate, not saying I was trying hard. Like, so if you're going to give me those kind of numbers, then you can't give me the distractions. Yeah. Slick. Yeah.
So what is it that they're disgusted with at this point?
The complaining every year.
He wants to do a darkness retreat? I don't know.
So that's my question. No, they don't have reason to be disgusted because they created this monster.
That's true, too.
This isn't the first time. Like, we can go back to Mike McCarthy. He had issues with Mike McCarthy. What did they do? They got rid of Mike McCarthy. He had issues with Matt LaFleur and Audibles. What did they do?
You got
free reign.
That's true, yeah.
Right? Every step of the, you want Randall Cobb back. We'll go get Randall Cobb.
Like, they did do that.
They have.
You want more money, we'll give you $50 million.
Yeah. They've accommodated him every step of the way. And what has he done? He still talks bad about him. He still doesn't show up. He still doesn't work with the young guys. He still, like, so you created this monster.
Yeah.
And now it's decided, I mean, the reality is, the reason they're disgusted, because they created this monster and it can't play at the same level that it did before, which is why they put up with it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So now suddenly he falls off, and now we got a problem. I don't, and I know you're probably going to push back on the idea that he's fallen off.
Let's say
you put up with all of that, and now because what? He might not be the same quarterback. Now you're going to be, no. You had a hand in this, in creating who Aaron Rodgers is.
Which is ironic because, there were different people, but they went through this almost play-by-play with the last quarterback in Green Bay. Like, right down to the drafting a young quarterback, the yearly uncertainty. So, clearly...
What's the common denominator?
The Green Bay Packers organization.
Thank you very
absolutely.
Much.
And you're right. I am going to push back. Like, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to win another MVP, but I just can't help but think about how we did this 3 years ago. Like, in 2019, we were having very similar conversations. Now, Aaron Rodgers has shared way more and way too much information since then, and it has kind of turned the tide of public opinion against him. But people wrote him off before. That's all I'm saying. Like, I still think he's a pretty good quarterback.
He's pretty good.
If the Packers are tired of dealing with it, I don't blame them. Yeah. But disgusted just to me conveys this attitude like he hasn't given you so much over the last 15
That's fair.
Years.
That is fair. Well, we got to leave one great conversation to get to the one I'm most excited about. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, is leaving to go to the Washington Commanders. But will Eric Bieniemy, one of the most volatile names in all of sports, be exposed now that he's departing from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? Listen to us tell you something you haven't heard yet. That's next.
What's that word?
Volatile.
No, exposed.
The topic we've all been waiting for. Eric Bieniemy has garnered so much attention because he hasn't gotten a head coaching job. Well, he's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, but the problem is he does not call plays. That's been the knock on him. So guess what? He's leaving the Chiefs, Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and joining the Washington Commanders, becoming their OC/assistant head coach. He will call plays for the Commanders. That was the biggest knock on him. Well, Shady, what nobody is talking about is the question I am going to ask you.
What's that?
Will Eric Bieniemy be exposed with the Commanders?
I hope he doesn't, but I think he will. And when I think about that question, it's more of what's his value? What makes him a good offensive coordinator? Because if you look at the team, they're number one in ranked offense since he's been there, since 2018.
Please.
I mean, the Chiefs, they're number two in ranked passing offense. So, man, like, what? Is it him?
Right.
It's not him. See, the problem is a lot of these people that go on social media, oh, he should be the guy for the job, they haven't played there. They're not in the locker rooms. I've been in there. I've been in them classrooms, what we call the locker room and learning the classroom. But I've been in the rooms where he's coaching.
And he has nothing to do with the pass game at all, right? When the plays are designed, that's Andy Reid. When you talk about offensive coordinators, I can tell you what makes Brian Daboll with the Giants a very, very good coordinator. I can tell you what Andy Reid or Doug Peterson. But when I ask about Eric Bieniemy, what makes him good? When we watch the film or practices and we correct the wide receivers, the running backs, the quarterbacks, he doesn't talk in there. Andy Reid talks in there. Mm. He may say things to the running back because he's an ex-running back coach. I get that. But he has no real responsibility. Now you go from the Chiefs, where you can hide behind Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Then you go to the Washington, where you got to call plays. You got to run the meetings. You got to run the installs. As a coordinator, everywhere I've been at, the coordinators, they install the plays. Install as in we're going the running plays, the passing plays. With the Chiefs, do you know what he installed? He installed, like, going into halftime situations. Mm-hmm. So if it's minute left, one timeout, he installed that. That's all he did. I can't make this up. So when you ask me about being exposed, it's like, yeah, because now what makes you a good offensive coordinator? And the last issue I have, okay, my last two. When you ever see him talk to Patrick Mahomes on TV? When you ever see the offensive coordinator talk to the quarterback? You don't see it. Because why would he talk to him? You don't have nothing to do with the pass or no offense. I'm talking to Andy Reid or Matt Nagy, okay? And the last issue I have with him is, what makes Andy Reid so great, not the play calls, which we see that, which, I mean, that's one of it. But the other thing is, like, adapting to the players. When I had Andy Reid in Philadelphia, it was real old school. He had the old black pony sneakers. He was strict, you know. And then I got with the Chiefs in 2019. He was way different. More cool, more pop to him, you know, adapting to the new environment. It's different. Social media made everything different. He was a different coach. Well, Bieniemy, he's my first practice, I couldn't believe it. He dog coaching, he dog cussing the players. I'm like, and not just the regular players, Kelsey, you know, other players. So it's like, it's hard for me. I'm rooting for him because he's a black coach, and I love to see black coaches win. Also, he's a running back coach. Running back coaches don't never get a chance to be offensive coordinators. The last one was like Anthony Lynn. So I want that to do well for him. But if I got to do my job and be honest, my thing is just, where is the true value at?
Is Eric Bieniemy getting a pass from the national media because we are on the outside?
Oh, absolutely. They see the results. If his tag is offensive coordinator and they have the number one offense, the number two pass offense, they got Patrick Mahomes, all these numbers, why can't he get a job? Because all the other ones before him, like the Doug Petersons, the Matt Nagy's, right? I got another one for you. Mike Kafka, he's a quarterback coach. I can't make this up. I've witnessed Mike Kafka. He was a quarterback coach. Kafka, I know he played with him. Yeah. Kafka, he was a quarterback coach with the Chiefs. I watched him call some plays before I see Eric Bieniemy call plays. So now when being there and compared to being with the media on the outside, you would think he should get a job. I never even seen a player say anything good about his coaching. They say, like I seen guys tweet, oh, he should get a job. It's not fair. But they don't say, like, oh, man, he should get a job. He actually knows he does this. He knows that. He could dice the plays up. You'll never see that. So I'm anxious to see how he does in Washington.
Is it have anything to do with him being black, in your opinion? Obviously, you ain't Roger Goodell. You don't know him.
You know what? Absolutely not. Andy Reid, first of all, I won't even get into Andy Reid because he hires everybody. But people want to win. The color thing, I get it. It should be more black coaches. I definitely believe that. But if you come up from the Chiefs, they want to win. And all sports is a copycat league.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the Warriors, they're going small ball. We're going to do small ball. We're going to win championships. Oh, the Chiefs are doing this fast offense. Now we want the quarterbacks with the sidearm and all that. We're going to draft one because we want to win. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson don't go to the Jets at number two pick if it ain't Patrick Mahomes. So people want to win. It has nothing to do with the color barrier at all.
We say on this show all the time, like, you can have the same information and we come to completely different conclusions. Because I agree with what you just said, Shady. My thing is, that's why I don't think he can be exposed. Because at this point, I don't want to say Eric Bieniemy has a bad reputation, but at this point in this bizarre cycle, what is the idea from the outside about Eric Bieniemy? We're like, something's off here. Like, why hasn't this guy gotten a job? Is it a color thing? Is it because he doesn't call plays? Is it because he's a hard guy to work with? Like, that is, it's gone to that territory now where it's like, well, something's clearly wrong with this guy if he hasn't gotten a shot when everybody else on Andy Reid's tree has gotten a shot.
Right.
And then you look at it and say, well, he's got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's at this point,
people think little enough that of Eric Bieniemy. Like, nobody thinks of him anymore as this hot shot. You know, like Shane Steichen's a great example, just because he went from calling plays in Philly very quickly to being the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. There's a you know, an aura that goes with that of like, okay, well, he helped Jalen Hurts become an MVP candidate. He can do the same thing for our guys in Indy. Whereas with Eric Bieniemy, I think that's kind of the question is like, well, what's his role exactly if he's not calling plays and if he hasn't
gotten
the
shot? That's the question, Dave.
But, okay. But that's why I think he's in a good situation, because to Rick's point from earlier in the show, the bar's not that high.
Well, exposed. So, hold up, but real quick. If we gonna pay this pretty penny for you, right, because we see all the results that you did previously, we want that. And when I say exposed, I don't think that the Washington Commanders is going to get that. What they're expecting. You
I think
see what I'm saying?
With the talent, and the big variable here is obviously Sam Howell. He's one NFL start, which also I'm not going to buy in February that he's definitely their quarterback. Like, you can't just take that at face value.
But Rivera said that.
Sure.
That is what the coach said.
Coaches like to say things until better options come around. So I don't think you can bank on that, but like, I like the talent in Washington. We got a little bit.
I do too.
Got a little bit of work to do on offensive line, but got a nice duo of receivers. Scary Terry's like one of the most underrated players in the league, Terry McLaurin. So if he can get him into the top half of the league, I would call that pretty good. And I don't think that that is that hard to achieve, I guess. Like, I'm not looking for Eric Bieniemy to turn the Commanders into the best offense in football.
But here's my thing, and we don't have much time for – When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Let's go to break real quick, and when we return, we're going to continue. It's really the most intriguing conversation in all of the NFL right now. Eric Bieniemy, that's next on Speak.
Curt Flood was a two-time World Series champion, three-time All-Star, and one of the pioneers of our modern sports world. By refusing a trade to the Phillies in 1969, Flood challenged baseball's reserve clause, which bound players to teams in perpetuity. It was patently unfair, and after years of legal battles, free agency was established in baseball and other sports soon after. Almost everybody won. Salaries skyrocketed, and player movement piqued fan interest. But Flood never personally benefited. He sat out the 1970 season and only played a handful of games before retiring. Everyone owes a debt of gratitude to Curt Flood, from the columnist typing a hot stove article, to the superstar signing a record-breaking contract, to the young fan buying that superstar's jersey in hopes that they can deliver a championship to the hometown team. That's all thanks to Curt Flood, whose singular personal sacrifice remade the sports landscape and ushered in the modern sports world.
We got to pick up where we left off. Eric Bieniemy, in case you have not realized, it's really maybe the most controversial thing in all of the NFL right now. Eric Bieniemy has been the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs through two Super Bowl wins, three Super Bowl appearances, but for whatever reason, he cannot get a head coaching job. Many people have said it's racial, but you've seen black coaches be hired and fired while Eric Bieniemy has been passed up. So Eric Bieniemy, he's gone to the Washington Commanders, leaving Patrick Mahomes, leaving Andy Reid to become the offensive coordinator, where he will call plays. He did not call plays in Kansas City. So now the question becomes, will he get exposed? Slick, I know you didn't get a great opportunity to speak your mind. So where do you stand on Eric Bieniemy with the Commanders? Finish where we left off.
Well, he will be exposed one way or the other.
Right, because he just hasn't had any exposure to this
because
point.
He hasn't had any exposure. I don't know that we really know, and I'm not contesting anything that you said about what he does or has done for the Kansas City Chiefs. But we really don't know what Eric Bieniemy is capable of at this point. So if you have Andy Reid and you have Patrick Mahomes, well, how much are you really going to ask your offensive coordinator to do in that circumstance? Like, how much you can have too many cooks in the kitchen.
Sure.
Is Eric Bieniemy going to suddenly say, hey, Andy, no, I think we ought to do this. Or Patrick wants to do this. You know what, Patrick, I think instead. Like, his hands are a little bit tied because of the greatness around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is going to be, can he take what he learned from coaching Pat Mahomes and seeing him perform and working under Andy Reid? And can he translate that to working under Ron Rivera with the Washington Commanders? I don't have the answer. Mm-hmm. We don't have any proof of that. But I'm going to at least leave the possibility that Eric Bieniemy can grow into a thing that he has never been asked to do before.
I like that thought. I don't know that I agree with the aspect of this. Like, Eric Bieniemy has more to lose than he has to gain in my mind. And the reason I say that, Dave, is because, like, the Commanders people will realize, especially if Eric Bieniemy gets the attention that we believe he deserves, people gonna realize how talented that offense is now. People gonna realize that Terry McLaurin was a top pick at wide receiver. I believe he might have been a second round pick. Dave, correct me if I'm wrong.
He's very good.
Second round pick.
He's great.
People gonna realize they drafted Jahan Dotson in the first round, I think number 16 overall, out of Penn State.
Beast.
People gonna realize that Brian Robinson had a gun in bullet injury is the only reason he didn't start the season week one.
And still ball.
And still got busy. Yeah. Like, people gonna look around slick and say, wait a second. They got two nice running backs, okay, and they got three nice receivers. It's not enough to just be top half of the league. So go ahead.
Okay, but why weren't they that this past year? If their talent, they have that much talent,
quarterback.
Why?
Quarterback.
They haven't fixed that issue.
Taylor Heineke. Yeah.
Okay.
Carson
Wentz.
Okay,
but that hasn't changed.
They haven't fixed that problem.
And here's how I think they believe they fixed it by bringing in Sam Howell. Yeah, Sam Howell was a Heisman contender.
Do you think they fixed it?
I don't think so.
Do you think they fixed it?
I will say yes. Right? They think they fixed
based
it.
Based on what? No, I'm not saying they think they fixed it.
But I'm saying based on the coordinator they're bringing in. Because this is a coordinator that's with the Chiefs that they get busy with Patrick Mahomes and then whoever the backup is. Mm-hmm. Every time a backup comes in there to play for Patrick Mahomes, they do well. It's documented. Playoff games. Yep. They do.
No, Matt Moore and Chad Henne. I get it.
So
those are way more accomplished quarterbacks than a guy that's made one NFL start.
Yeah, backup's a backup, though. Backup's a backup. It's levels to it, but you're backup for a reason.
There are levels to it. As long as you admit that, I'm with you.
I seen them other teams, they didn't do as well, right? Okay. So I think they feel like that. But when they bring this guy in there, they're going to realize that he's coached some great players. People don't know that. He's the coach, Adrian Peterson.
All right.
Right? Jamal Charles. He coached with some great running backs. That's all he knows. I truly think that he's over his head with this job. I'm being honest.
It may be, but if they were so good, again, the Commanders.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If they had all this talent and it was just the quarterback, then why are they changing offensive coordinators? Why are they going to get Eric Bieniemy?
They want to win. They say a team that win that there's the
okay,
four,
but,
three
but, but,
super
but some of that, and some of the downfall of the Commanders has to be on the offensive coordinator. And now Eric Bieniemy just has to be better.
But
than
think
what they
about
had.
This. Think about this, y'all. Nobody's talking about this.
What's that?
Eric Bieniemy joined the worst team in the best division in all of football. How y'all think he gonna win? That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Cowboys won 12 games last year and didn't win the division.
Okay.
The Eagles with Jalen Hurts were 16-3. Yeah.
You didn't have to
the
win.
Giants with Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones still made the playoffs and won a playoff game. And y'all sending Eric Bieniemy to the worst team in the best division in football
and hoping for some good? Ron Rivera has to win. That's not going to be on Bieniemy. Bieniemy has to improve their offense. So if he improves their offense.
The defense is good.
Defense is good.
Okay.
No question.
Right.
No question. But the winning and the losing still sit. I mean, we haven't made Eric Bieniemy the head coach of this team yet.
Well, let's also kill. Okay, yes, the NFC was nice this year. It also hasn't had a repeat champion since 2004. Like, I'm not willing to just sit here and say this, and this are going to happen. Of course, I think Philly.
You know the
and
Cowboys
Dallas
are going to be good. Because they're always good. They're never bad. They might not be great, but, you know, they haven't been a losing team in God knows how long.
I'm not writing things in stone in February before an NFL season.
They're going
season.
To be good.
It'll be tough. Oh, especially not with the Cowboys,
and the Giants will be better.
Giants are going to be better.
Why?
Eagles aren't going to be bad.
This is a different conversation. I mean, the Giants don't have a quarterback under contract right now. Well, like, it's early to assume any of that. And, again, to Rick's point, even if we just assume that all of this will happen again and the NFC still have three playoff teams, really – Eric Bieniemy's job for the time being right now is to have an offense better than 24th. Shoot for 14 or 15, and you'll be in a pretty good spot.
But they're probably in the playoffs if they can do that.
But that's not enough for him to be a head coach. Nobody's going to say, yo, he had the 15th best offense in football. Now we're going to hire him. So what's this really about? Think about it. If Bieniemy has the 15th best offense in football, now you're going to make him a head coach? You're going to pass 1 through 14
and make the 15th
a head coach?
We don't have time, but I got you.
And I bet there will be a top 15
When we return, we're going to talk about what Dave has for me next on Speed. We got too much going on right now, y'all.
What is that bet, Dave?
What's up?
They won't be a top 20 offense.
Ooh. I'm so glad that commercial break is over because we got to get right back to it. Dave Hellman, your Eric Bieniemy final thoughts.
I just...
I think so much in these sports arguments, we get wrapped up in, you know, I got all the statistical rankings and the records right here. But think about it just from the perspective of any job, our jobs, any job in America. 5-6 years is a long time to be in a job. Put yourself in the shoes in that situation and say, I've been here for 5 years, not even 2 or 3. And every year it's like, oh, better luck next year, buddy. Yeah, you feel more qualified than these guys, but you're still here. At what point do you say, to hell with it, I think I'm this good. And it doesn't matter what we think about how good he is at his job. He thinks he's that good. And you take a leap. We see it in regular America all the time. It's important to remember that. Like, how long do you expect somebody to do this before they take matters into their own hands and say, I'll be in charge of what type of shot I get?
He should take the job because, I mean, you're evolving, right? Now it's your show. Only reason why I don't like it is because a dude like Deuce Staley, who's a smart coach, running back coach, he's really smart. If Bienemy doesn't do well, he won't get the next job, Deuce Staley. That's what I'm scared of. They'll find out that, oh, he don't. They're going to be like, oh, this dude don't. Them plays I seen in the Super Bowl, that was not him.
Imagine what it could do for a Deuce Staley if he is good at it, though.
Maybe I've just been there. Maybe for five years he's been there, he's never did it.
That's why there's no time like the present, my dude. Well, at some point, you got to make a leap.
Maybe you didn't do the plays, but you might do them now.
Exactly.
Let's pray.
That's good for us.
That's how job promotion works.
Let's pray.